You're listening to an African Elements top news story for June 23, 2026. Please visit our website at africanelements.org for more daily news. Why the Fair Housing Enforcement Lawsuit Matters Now. A coalition of civil rights advocates filed a historic lawsuit in federal court. This legal battle targets the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Advocates argue that a newly implemented rule severely threatens fair housing protections. The rule weakens the fight against discrimination in home buying. Consequently, it leaves Black families vulnerable to unfair lending practices. This dispute is not simply about legal jargon. It represents a deeper struggle over wealth in America. To understand this fight, one must look at the history of housing. Historically, systemic exclusion has blocked Black families from buying homes. Today, this lawsuit aims to protect those hard-fought civil rights. To understand the current legal battle, one must study the past. The system of housing in the United States has long excluded Black Americans. In the 1930s, the federal government created residential security maps. These maps evaluated the risk of lending in various neighborhoods. Areas with Black residents were colored red on these maps. This practice became known as redlining. Because of redlining, banks refused to offer mortgages in these areas. Consequently, Black families could not buy homes in desirable neighborhoods. In addition, real estate developers used racially restrictive covenants. These covenants were legally binding clauses written into property deeds. They explicitly prohibited the sale, rental, or occupancy of homes to Black Americans. These restrictions remained attached to the land in perpetuity. They bound all future buyers to the same racial exclusions. Developers and homeowners associations adopted these contracts widely. They wanted to construct entirely segregated white subdivisions. This happened especially after the Supreme Court ruled government-mandated segregation unconstitutional. Even though the Supreme Court declared covenants unenforceable in 1948, the damage was done. These practices created a legacy of structural segregation. Sadly, the systemic denial of credit did not end after the Civil War or after early court rulings. The patterns of exclusion lasted for decades. In response to systemic exclusion, civil rights leaders fought for legislative change. During the civil rights era, the federal government took action. Congress passed several landmark laws to protect minority buyers. The Fair Housing Act of 1968 outlawed housing discrimination based on race, color, or origin. Later, the Equal Credit Opportunity Act of 1974 banned discrimination in lending. Finally, the Community Reinvestment Act of 1977 targeted redlining. This law forced banks to serve low-income neighborhoods. However, proving discrimination required demonstrating intentional bias. Because discrimination is often hidden, regulators developed a new standard. This standard is known as the Disparate Impact Standard. Under this rule, a lender is liable if a neutral policy causes a disproportionate negative effect. For example, minimum mortgage limits may exclude lower-income Black buyers. The Federal Reserve codified this effects test in Regulation B in 1977. Bipartisan administrations supported the standard for decades. The Supreme Court even affirmed it in 2015. Despite these protections, lending abuses continued in the early 2000s. Predatory lenders engaged in a practice called reverse redlining. Instead of denying credit, they targeted minority communities with toxic loans. They pushed expensive, high-risk mortgages on Black and Latino buyers. Many of these buyers actually qualified for safer, lower-interest loans. When the housing bubble burst in 2008, the impact was devastating. Communities of color lost vast amounts of generational wealth. In response, Congress passed the Dodd-Frank Act of 2010. This law created the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. The agency acts as an independent watchdog for fair lendings. It ensures that financial institutions follow federal rules. However, the new lawsuit argues that the agency is now abandoning its core missions. On April 22, 2026, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau issued a final rule. This rule significantly alters Regulation B. This regulation implements the Equal Credit Opportunity Act. Civil rights advocates argue that this new rule dismantles 50 years of protections. The rule targets key fair lending concepts.
First, the rule states that the Equal Credit Opportunity Act does not allow disparate impact liabilities. Lenders are now protected when their policies cause discriminatory outcomes. Plaintiffs must prove that a lender intended to discriminate. Second, the rule restricts protections against discouragement. Lenders face fewer limits on marketing practices that exclude minority communities. Third, the rule limits special purpose credit programs. These programs have historically expanded credit for locked out buyers. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau claims these changes simplify compliance. The agency argued that the statutory text of the Equal Credit Opportunity Act does not explicitly mention disparate impact. They noted that previous rules relied too heavily on legislative history. Furthermore, the agency framed the rewrite as a deregulatory measure. They argued that removing these tests reduces unnecessary administrative burdens on financial institutions. In response, housing advocates filed a lawsuit in federal court. The lawsuit challenges the rule on several procedural grounds. First, the plaintiffs argue that the agency rushed the process.
The Bureau provided a brief 30-day public comment window over the Thanksgiving holiday. Second, the agency did not use a small business review panel. Third, the agency ignored over 64,000 public opposition comments. In fact, 90% of all public comments opposed the rule change. Additionally, the lawsuit challenges the authority of Russell Vaught. Vaught served as the acting director of the Bureau. Under the Dodd-Frank Act, permanent rulemaking power belongs to a Senate-confirmed director. An acting director is a temporary leader appointed for operational continuity. The plaintiffs argue that an unconfirmed official lacks the authority to rewrite major civil rights rules. Consequently, they argue that the Regulation B overhaul is invalid. The lawsuit involves a diverse group of plaintiffs fighting for fair housing. The National Fair Housing Alliance leads the legal effort. However, other critical co-plaintiffs have joined the case. These include Rise Economy, BLDS LLC, and Solus AI. Each organization plays a specific role in defending fair lending practices. Rise Economy is a California-based economic justice organization. The group works to create racial and economic justice for low-income communities. BLDS LLC is a nationally recognized technical consulting firm. The firm applies statistics and economics to regulatory compliance issues. Solus AI is an innovative compliance technology company. It develops software to detect and mitigate algorithmic bias in credit decisions. These entities joined the lawsuit because their work depends on the disparate impact standard. They advise financial institutions on how to test for and correct unintended bias. If the disparate impact standard is eliminated, lenders may stop using these testing tools. This shift would directly impact the business models of these consulting firms.
Therefore, they are fighting to protect the integrity of fair lending compliance. The rule changes also threaten special purpose credit programs. These initiatives are specialized lending programs authorized under the Equal Credit Opportunity Act. They allow financial institutions to consider protected characteristics like race to serve disadvantaged groups. These programs help to close the racial wealth gap in America. These programs offer tangible benefits to minority homebuyers. For instance, they provide direct grants for down payments. They also offer assistance with closing costs and lower credit score requirements. These flexible terms allow creditworthy families to qualify for mortgages. Standard underwriting guidelines often exclude these families. Between 2022 and 2024, these programs helped nearly 58,000 borrowers buy homes. This regulatory retreat is not isolated to the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. In March 2025, Federal Housing Finance Agency Director Bill Pulte issued decision number 2025-145. This directive ordered Fannie Mallory and Freddie Mac to terminate their support for special purpose credit programs. Pulte argued that supporting these programs was inappropriate for regulated entities and conservatorships. This decision carries immense weight because Fannie Mallory and Freddie Mac are government-sponsored enterprises. A government-sponsored enterprise is a privately owned but federally chartered financial services corporation. Congress created these entities to enhance credit flow and liquidity in the housing market. They do not issue mortgages directly to homebuyers. Instead, they operate in the secondary mortgage market. They purchase home loans from private lenders and package them into securities. Because lenders rely on selling mortgages to these enterprises, a ban destroys liquidity. If these enterprises cannot purchase these specialized loans, banks will stop offering them. Consequently, the ban directly dismantles public-private homeownership efforts.
It leaves minority and working-class buyers without essential down payment assistance during a housing crisis. Furthermore, advocates warn that the rule changes facilitate digital redlining. Digital redlining occurs when automated underwriting algorithms perpetuate bias. Modern lenders rely heavily on automated credit scoring models. These systems use facially neutral criteria that correlate with protected characteristics. For example, zip codes reflect deep patterns of geographic segregation.
When algorithms use these zip codes, they reproduce historical disparities. In addition, machine learning models learn from historical datasets.
These datasets contain decades of biased lending decisions. Consequently, the systems systematically deny credit to Black applicants. This happens even when Black applicants possess similar financial profiles as white applicants. Without the disparate impact standard, lenders cannot be held liable for these outcomes. Regulators will struggle to trace how opaque algorithms generate discriminatory results. As a result, the financial industry can hide systemic bias behind a veneer of mathematical objectivity. In conclusion, the lawsuit against the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau is a critical fight for civil rights. By removing the disparate impact standard, the new rule threatens to lock in decades of structural inequality. Furthermore, restricting programs like special purpose credit programs harms families striving to build generational wealth. The outcome of this case will shape the future of housing in America. It will determine whether the homeownership gap continues to widen. It will also decide if financial regulators will protect vulnerable buyers from modern bias. As the legal process continues, advocates remain determined to protect fair lending for all communities.
Copyright, African Elements.